Up to Resurrection Sunday, you know, next Sunday would be Palm Sunday, and then the next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. And as we celebrate and focus our attention on the Lord and His passion for us, His passion to do the will of God, His desire to follow through with the plans and the purposes that His Father has for us. So I want to encourage you as we look at this passage of Scripture to think about your own life for a few minutes. So we talk about, I've said many times to you that when Jesus was in the garden, I think it was probably one of His hardest times. I know the crucifixion was unbelievably, supernaturally rough, but I believe what Jesus went through in this garden was rough too, because it was His true surrender. When He got to the cross, He had already surrendered to what God had for him. He didn't have to work it up on the cross, or it wasn't caused by the cross. It was all done by Him as He prepared. He knew what was coming, and He knew what He needed to do. So we're going to talk about that today, the prayer in the garden, and how it relates to us, how He lived it as an example to us. So in Matthew chapter 26, I want to read for you verses 36 through 46. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to His disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and He began to be grieved and distressed. Then He said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And He went a little beyond them, and He fell on His face, and He prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as You will." And He came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, Your will be done." Again He came and found them struggling, for their eyes were heavy. And He left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then He came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping, resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." I don't know if you guys can hear that feedback. When we look at this passage, a lot of times we look at the weakness that was found in the disciples. But today I want you to see the strength that was found in Jesus. What he was doing in this moment is not something that's just trivial. It's very significant as he was living it, and then as he would instruct the disciples what to do. But I want us to spend a few minutes today looking at the life of Jesus and how he lived out this concept of absolute surrender in his life. The first thing I want us to talk about is the rationale for absolute surrender. In other words, why in the world do we have to surrender to God? Why do we have to give ourselves to him completely? When God called a people, he called them for his purpose. And when God saves an individual, he saves them for his purpose and for his reason. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. You guys think about this. No one can serve two masters, since he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Isn't it interesting there that he said, you cannot serve two masters? You think about your own life. Sometimes do you feel like you're the master of your destiny? You're the captain of the ship. You rule it all. You know where you're going and you've got it all under control. You've got it planned out. For Jesus, one of the things that was most important to him was doing the will of God. You know, a lot of times you and I try to do both, don't we? We try to live in control of our life and say, hey, this is where I'm going. This is what I want to do. This is the desire of my heart. And then at the same time, try to live for God as if one day we are doing what we want to do and another day we're doing what God wants to do. That concept will kill you, literally. Mentally, you and I cannot sustain that war inside. And wasn't that what Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 7 when he talked about that war within? It's something that you and I go through. It's a struggle that we face when we live in the flesh and when we're trying to focus our attention upon God. You guys ever seen the movie Parent Trap? It's an old movie. It's been remade several times, but one of the things, without giving away too much, when they discovered that the two girls were sisters, they convinced the dad to take them on a camping trip and to take with them the possible mom that they would have, his future wife. And on that trip, the camping trip that they went on, one of the things the girls set out to do was to make this lady, I believe her name was Meredith, make her so frustrated that she would say, forget it, I'm not going to do this anymore. And they did several things there. And I can remember the one line before she left. She said, It's either them or me. And do you remember what the guy said? He said them. He said them. He made a choice. He made a choice there to do. Here were his two options, but he made the choice to love his daughters more than this person who, you know, if you watch the movie, you see she's trying to weasel her way into all the money that he has. And so his decision to say to those girls, I choose them. Can you imagine how they must have felt in that moment when he said them? It must have been so powerful for them. And when Jesus himself made a choice, he made a choice to do the will of God. We live in the blessing of what he has done. Today, as you look at your life, are you trying to serve two masters? Are you trying to do what you want to do, what you think is right, what you hope is best, what other people have said to you you need to be doing? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Have you come to the choice between God and the world? You and I have to make that choice. Sometime in our life, we're going to be confronted with that choice. And I think for Jesus, although his temptation in when he was out in the desert for 40 days, when he was tempted by all those things and he proved faithful to God, but this was a moment where he was going to surrender, give God his unconditional yes. Well, not only is there a rationale for why we should settle the issue, but there's also a risk. There's a risk of absolute surrender. Notice one of the things that happens here as Jesus is praying. He fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then I want you to see the second one in verse 42. He went away again a second time and prayed. Notice how it was a little bit different. "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it." What was going on in the life of Jesus in these moments? What was he thinking about? This is where we really see the human side of Jesus. He looked ahead and saw what was waiting for him, and he lived with that frustration. He lived with that humanness, that warring that was going on inside him. He was living with that, and he was trying to pray through that struggle. When we look at doing the will of God, we look at the reality that there is a risk in choosing God. It's a good risk. I mean, it's a risk with lots of blessings, but it's still a risk. Go ask Noah if it wasn't a risk to build an ark, to live with the shame of being before the people and thinking he was probably crazy. Go and ask Abraham what it was like for him to talk about having a child when he's close to 100 years old. Go talk to the three Hebrew boys who would not bow down to an idol that had been created. These people understood the risk of following God where He leads them. Jesus, ultimately, this is what He's saying in these moments in His humanness. He's saying, Lord, if there is any other way possible, let it happen. Have you been there? Have you been at that place in your life where you feel like, God, Your plan and Your purpose for me just doesn't seem to be working out? There's a lot of struggles in it. There's a lot of hardships. There's a lot of suffering. Doesn't mean suffering is going to be your destiny. But you and I can experience suffering in following God. That is what Jesus meant when He said, count the cost. Count the cost. Realize how great it is to follow Me. But also realize that it's not going to be exactly like you have planned. It's not going to be exactly like you want it to be. Because there's a bigger plan. God has a bigger plan for us. You remember when Peter and the disciples, when they abandoned Jesus in the moment when He needed them, He needed their friendship. You remember that sense of abandonment from God. Jesus talked about that. Psalm 22 said, my God, why have You forsaken Me? Those were His words on the cross. He lived with the human struggle of what it was like to follow God. Are you willing to go through that struggle? Are you willing to say yes to God, whatever He has for you? I mean, if you cannot give God your unconditional yes, then you're really not surrendered. If you and I cannot give God an unconditional yes, then we're not totally surrendered to Him. As Jesus Himself was, as He spoke these prayers, and as those prayers began to infiltrate His life, and as He began to realize the significance of this moment, verse 45, it says, then He came to the disciples and He said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew the difficulty and the struggle of making that happen. You know, it's Luke's account of this prayer in the garden where Luke talks about he sweat drops of blood. It was so intense in those moments. If you and I don't realize that Jesus laid aside His divinity so that He could take on humanity, that in and of itself is a suffering. It is a hardship to do that. he was willing to live with the risk of following God's plan, not his own. The third thing I want us to talk about for just a moment is the resolve. The resolve. To resolve something is to decide firmly on a course of action. Think in reading this account about Jesus that he had resolved to do the will of God. He had resolved, no matter what the cost, I am going to follow him. I'm going to do his will. I'm going to do what I was sent here to do. Remember when Jesus had an encounter with the rich man in Matthew chapter 19? And in that encounter, Jesus, rich man thought he had done really good. And Jesus said, okay, you've done all those things. Now go and sell all that you have. Give it to the poor and come follow me. We like to take that story and we like to take the bite out of it. We like to take the sting out of it. But isn't that what Jesus was doing in these moments? He was resolving to do whatever God wanted him to do, whatever the cost was going to be. He was willing to do that because he knew the heart of the Father. You know, somebody has said, when you can't see his hand, trust his heart. And isn't that true? God so loved us that he was willing to allow this sacrifice to take place. When the young man heard what he needed to do, do you remember how he reacted? He went away, grieving. Why? Because in order to follow the true master, he'd have to give up his temporary master. That's why he went away grieved. He wasn't grieved because he had done these things. He was grieved because Jesus said to him, this is something else you need to do. This is your real God. This is the real master of your life. Let it go. To which Peter then says, later in that passage, he says, see, we've left everything and followed you. Luke chapter 23, verse 46, Jesus cried out on the cross with a loud voice and said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Says he breathed his last after that happened. He asks you to think for just a moment. Has there been a time in your life where you have committed yourself to the Lord 100%? You've given him your unconditional yes. You've committed your spirit to him. You ever heard the story of Bill Borden? He's the heir of Borden Industries or whatever. He made a choice in his life. He said he was at a conference and he spent time focusing on the Lord. And he heard a song that was spoken. I mean, that was sung. That had the lyrics, "I surrender all." To which he, with depth of feeling, he stood with the others and he sang the chorus. He sang, "I surrender all, I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all." He was only 17 when he did that. But he had made a resolution in his heart to follow God no matter what the cost. Some would say the die was cast. He returned home, gave away vast amounts of his fortune, and prepared for missionary service among the Muslims of China. He died of spinal meningitis in Egypt en route to China at age 25. We would probably ask, what was the purpose in all that? What was the reason? But for Bill, his reason was because he loved God. He was willing to give up everything in those moments because he loved God. Because he had made the resolution to surrender it all, and it doesn't matter what comes next. This is what I'm going to do right now. This is the way I'm going to live my life. Before others and before the God who created me. Judson Van Deventer, around 1890, he put to music the song, "I Surrender All." He was at a conference, and he had been struggling with one decision, a decision between developing his talents in the field of art or going into full-time evangelistic work, which you know is a lesson in poverty. His pivotal hour came. And he said this, "I surrender all." Have you come to that point in your life where you have surrendered all to God? You can surrender everything and have everything. You know? You really can. Where does it matter? It matters here. Matters in the heart. How I handle decisions and choices. How I live my life before others. That is a demonstration of resolve. And Jesus himself... Jesus made a decision. He made a resolution that he wanted to do what God wanted him to do, no matter what the cost. And that's what he did in the garden, is he surrendered everything to God and he resolved to do it God's way, not his way. The last words he said to his disciples were, "Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." Be careful when you resolve to follow God. Some people preach that when you resolve to follow God, your life is going to change and everything's going to be wonderful. It is going to change. Heaven is waiting. But my friend, our flesh and the evil one can be a great distraction to us. Can keep us from our resolve sometimes. Can keep us from following him, or can keep us from surrendering all. Let's pray together.